Thank you for joining us today on Swindle My Kindle, while we talk about the man-made artifact that changed warfare back in the Middle Ages, the medieval longbow. As of today, William Lisman will be joined by Nate Hall, who studies many different artifacts that were used in the Middle Ages from 1100 to 1453. They will discuss the battles that the longbow was used in, as well as many other topics, such as the interesting law that helped the English win their military encounters. This podcast is brought to you by Calpis. Do you feel like you need something that will help you stay chill and get you through the weekend? Try a Calpis. The refreshing feeling of the drink will always brighten up your day, whether or not you are feeling down or need to distress yourself. If you don't believe it, take a sip. Calpis. And now, we begin our show. So, what do you know about this longbow, Nate?
Well, the name certainly gives a big clue about what it is.
Yeah, longbow, right?
That's exactly correct, but it's obviously not all it is.
How about we start off with some history?
Sure. It was first invented all the way back around 1180 CE by the Celts that lived in Wales, but it wasn't really used in warfare until the 1300s when the English took this weapon for granted, especially in the Battle of Crécy. When the French, with an army of 35,000 to 40,000, fought against the English with an army of 12,000.
And who won?
The English. They volleyed arrows at a rate of 15 or so a minute, which cut through the French crossbowmen, as well as some infantry, who were then finished by the English infantry.
Longbows beat crossbows, I guess. So, about the longbow, what exactly is it?
The bow itself is usually 6 to 7 feet long, with a diameter of 12 centimeters in the center and 5 centimeters at the ends. The bow, either made from yew wood, which is curated for 4 years for the best result, as well as other wood, which wasn't as commonly used and wasn't curated, like ash wood. The string is either made from sinew, which was then knotted up so the fibers created a string, linen, or hemp, which was glued to protect it from moisture. Now for the actual statistics. The bow has a draw weight, which is the amount of force exerted to fire an arrow, of 35 to 70 kilograms, and a draw length, which is the distance an archer needs to pull back to fire, of 50 centimeters. The bigger the bow, the greater the draw weight and length.
How many arrows can it fire a minute, and how far can it shoot?
With a skilled archer, they could release about 12 arrows in a minute, and the longbow could send an arrow around 320 meters.
Wow.
Pretty neat, right?
If this longbow is so powerful, it must have been really popular, right?
Yes, it was. It was very popular in England, and the use of it led to winning a number of military encounters. In fact, Edward III of England outlawed other sports, demanded that everyone in the country practice the longbow. That was a quote from the site that talks about the longbow, and it's called History for Kids. You can check it out later if you really want more information on the longbow.
I might check it out later.
Now, the reason behind the fact that Edward III decided this is because the longbow wasn't for knights, but for peasants. Knights couldn't hold the huge longbow while they were riding on horseback because it was fairly heavy. So making use of the peasants was a smart move. Though the longbow needed a lot of power to fire it, so lots of practice and training is needed to hold and use it.
I'm kind of surprised about the fact that peasants would use these powerful weapons. Wouldn't that seem a little cruel to pull a guy off the road maybe and then just tell him they need to work on firing a longbow so they might get killed in military encounters?
It might seem cruel, but the Middle Ages was full of many beliefs and religions, so doing those types of things might seem normal, right?
I guess so.
I mean, this is how the English won many battles, like the Battle of Agincourt and Poitiers. They train as many men as they can so they can hold the longbow.
That would seem logical. This podcast is also brought to you by Three Rivers Archery. Here, you can use or make your own hickory longbows for a cheap price of $129. Camps are also available all summer long, just in case you want to chill out and polish your archery skills. Call 1-800-433-2457 if you want to buy a longbow or sign up for camps now.
Oh yeah, I almost forgot to tell you something.
What?
Not only did King Edward III have his people train with the longbow, but also King Edward I, also known as the Hammer of the Celts, did the same thing. But he'd done it way earlier than Edward III.
So now we got two crazy people?
I guess. All he did was ban all other sports and have his people focus on archery on Sundays and holidays.
All he did? He just banned all other sports besides archery like the other guy.
That's 100% correct. There were actually special places called butts, where archers could polish their longbow skills.
B-U-T-T-S or B-U-T-S?
The first one.
Why would they use your behind as a name for specialized training areas? Isn't that a little silly?
Don't ask me why they decided to name them that.
Oh yeah, I almost forgot something as well.
What?
Was there a variety of arrows that the longbow shot?
There was. There was the long bodkin, which pierced through chainmail, the short bodkin, which pierced armor plates, and the swallowtail, which brings down horses. The arrows were made of light wood, which is usually ash wood, and heads were made of iron and steel. The arrows were fletched with a variety of feathers, including goose and even peacock feathers. They were attached with glue, birch tar, wax, or string. Eric Roth preferred three feathers on the arrows, just like the arrows we have now.
Well, I think we're running out of time right now, but thank you for presenting this info to the audience, and we hope to see you again.
Thanks for letting me join.
That was Nate Hall and William Lisman talking about the medieval longbow, which changed the face of European medieval warfare back in the Middle Ages. Thanks for joining us today, and we hope that you tune in on another podcast some other time. Goodbye.